My question is related to, if you look at the list of all, if you read the biographies and autobiographies of all the prime ministers and the demography of Israel population, you find there is a significant number of them are Russians who either came in from Russia via the United States to Palestine and became Israelis, or they are Russian Palestinians, I would call them. And if you look at the demography, there were millions of Russians who came to settle. Some of them were not even Jews. I think they were called as Nazis recently. I wonder what is your comment on looking at it from a nationalist line rather than looking at it as religious lines or Holocaust lines, and see what is the impact of the demography of the population on the Palestinians and on the Israeli population, because I think there is a lot of racism within the Israeli population as well, and also the dominant role the Russians are playing in it. And I also wonder if you consider Jews as a human shield of the American and British Empire, just as the Pakistanis are the Muslims in Pakistan are the human shield which were created by the British to fight the Hindus. Thank you.
I'm not sure how useful it is to trace back who came from where and are they really Jewish and whether they were converts, they were originally Palestinians and then they converted. I don't think it's useful to get involved in this kind of undertaking, because it just drags in all sorts of extraneous issues. This is not a clash of religions. It's not a clash of civilizations. There are basic political issues that are at stake, and in the most contemporary form, I'm not saying always, but in the most contemporary form, the problem is an occupation of another people's homeland, the systematic destruction of that homeland, the attempts to annex parts of that homeland, and the attempts to destroy what remains. And I think the most useful language is to use the language which the sponsors of this event use. Students for Palestinian Human Rights, or in the case of the United States, it's mostly what's called SJP, Students for Justice in Palestine. I think the emphasis should be on a language which is readily accessible to and understandable by the broad public, the language of justice, the language of human rights. There was a time when they had what were called Palestine Solidarity Committees. I was never particularly fond of that because it used to put the accent, the emphasis on the ethnic dimension of the conflict. It's about solidarity with Palestinians. No, I'm not in solidarity with Palestinians. And I'm not in solidarity with Muslims. And I'm not in solidarity with Jews, Israelis, or Americans. I have one solidarity, and that's the solidarity with basic principles of what's just and what's true. And I'm glad. The gentleman who asked the question referred to grandchildren who are going to graduate, and I'm glad to see that among the younger generations, they understand that kind of language, and they understand what are the basic principles. The principles at stake are not ethnic ones, they're not religious ones. The basic principles that are at stake are the ones we all understand. The principles of what's true and what's just. The right of the Palestinians to elect the government that they want. Not the government that Condoleezza Rice wants, or Mr. Bush wants, or what the Europeans want. I don't know why the Europeans should be deciding. They elected Berlusconi, Sarkozy. I mean, these are freaks. And this Blair, who always had this crazed look in his eyes, he made any mullah look secular by comparison. Who are they to tell the Palestinians who to elect? Can anyone name one Israeli prime minister who wasn't a terrorist? But they're allowed to elect whoever they want, but the Palestinians aren't allowed to elect Hamas. These are basic human rights. Because the Palestinians elected Hamas, the world has the right to starve them to death, to slap these economic sanctions on them. Those are the questions we have to ask. To keep it strictly and narrowly to the issues of human rights and justice.
Aside from the AIPAC lobby group, what other reasons are there for the U.S. government's unshakable support of Israel, and why does the AIPAC lobby group have so much influence compared to other lobby groups?
Well, I think there is a certain amount of distortion about AIPAC, because there is a large, not entire, but there's a large overlap of interests and convergence of interests between the U.S. and Israel. So let's take Israel's last two undertakings. When it went into Lebanon in 2006, the Bush-Cheney administration, or Cheney-Bush administration, or Cheney administration, Bush was with the King of Jordan in their bedroom playing with PlayStation 3, it was really Cheney. Both of them wanted to knock out Hezbollah, because they thought it would be a way of weakening Iran. That was a convergent interest of the U.S. and Israel. And the same thing with Hamas. It's the view of the Americans and many policymakers that Hamas, Hezbollah, Iran, they form one axis, and one way to weaken Iran is to weaken its, as they call it, proxies. I don't agree with that description, but we'll leave that aside. So there's a convergence of interest. Now, there are places where there is a divergence of interests. I don't think the U.S. government has any stake in the settlements in the occupied territories. I don't think the U.S. government has any stake in the colonization of the occupied territories. And I think the U.S. government would be very happy if tomorrow an Israeli government were to say, we're packing up and leaving. And so there, I think the rational conclusion on the local issue of Israel-Palestine, the rational conclusion is it's the lobby that's shaping U.S. policy. But on the bigger regional issues, Iraq, Iran, Saudi Arabia, Egypt to a lesser extent, it's not the lobby. It's American interests. It's very foolish to think the lobby decides whether the U.S. is going to war with Iraq. Everybody agrees The main architects of the war in Iraq were Cheney and Rumsfeld. No dispute about that. Cheney and Rumsfeld, they're not Jewish. Cheney and Rumsfeld do not care about Israel. Cheney and Rumsfeld do not care about Jews. They do not care about the Holocaust. They care about American national interests as they understand them. So some people say, but wait, wasn't it those Jewish neoconservatives like Wolfowitz, Feith, Wormser, and all the rest? They tricked Cheney and Rumsfeld. They duped them. Well, there are many things to say about Mr. Cheney. You want to say he's a murderer? I'll go there with you in that one. You want to say he's a thug, a hoodlum, a moral monster? No dispute from me here. You want to say he's not the kind of kid, kind of guy you would want to babysit your children? I agree to that. You want to say that you wouldn't want to be found in a dark alley with him? I'll go with you there. But stupid? Naive? No. He's a very smart man, for better or for worse, a very shrewd guy. You don't trick Mr. Cheney into going to war with Iraq to serve Israeli interests. That's simply not credible.